We are continuing on in the book of Matthew. We started a couple weeks ago. The big theme in Matthew is that Jesus is the King. And we've looked at the genealogies, verses 1 through 18 in chapter 1. We've seen the heritage, how Jesus is in the line of David, through Joseph and also through Mary. Both of those are true. And now, verses 18 through 25, we have the miracle of his birth that shows for all to see that Jesus is God, come in human flesh. Let's pray as we look into God's word today. Father, we do again thank you for sending your son. Lord, as we look into your word today, we see again the miracle. Father, help us to be amazed, astounded at what you have done for us. That Jesus was truly born. That he lived and died. God in the flesh to pay the penalty for our sins. Teach us now by your power and your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. We started looking at the dream that Joseph had last week. He and Mary were engaged. At this time period, an engagement was actually a legally binding contract. It meant that if anything was to happen, for either party to get out of it, it would take a signed, sealed document again. It was legally binding. And in the midst of this, Mary turns up pregnant. Joseph doesn't know what to do. He thought he had searched carefully. He thought he'd found a godly young woman that would be his wife. And then, surprise, surprise, she's pregnant. He doesn't understand. Humanly speaking, looking at the situation, this looks bad. Something must have happened. There must be some other guy. Something must have happened to Mary. And so Joseph is ready to, he could have publicly disgraced her, even had her stoned for what, for her being pregnant at this time. Joseph is trying to decide. It says he's a righteous man. And as he is thinking and pondering about what to do, he falls asleep. God appears to him through an angel in the dream and gives him direction, gives him understanding. I believe in the situation that is what it would take. I mean, this doesn't happen. This has only happened once, that a virgin has borne a child. And Joseph has that reassurance from God. Verse 20 says, when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. This child that will be born of Mary is God in the flesh. She will bear a son. She will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. She will bear a son. The angel doesn't say you and Mary, talking to Joseph, Mary and Joseph are going to have a baby. We don't read that in Scripture. We read Mary is going to have a baby. It is by God that this takes place. If we look over in chapter 2, verse 13. It says again, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord after the wise men had left. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother. Arise and take the child and his mother. Okay, it doesn't say your son, the child and his mother. Verse 20, arise and take the child and his mother. Again and again in Scripture we read the uniqueness of this baby. Joseph, by marrying Mary, that's hard to say, marrying Mary, became Jesus' legal father. By agreeing to marry her, he was claiming Jesus as his son. However, we need to always remember Jesus is the Son of God. Said his name will be Jesus. That would be Yeshua or Yehoshua, Joshua. And it means Jehovah saves. He will save his people from their sins. Only Jesus can save us. He saves us from God's righteous judgment. It says he will save his people. There's songs. There is a Savior. What joys express. Another one. There is a Redeemer. We need a Savior. And this baby, born of Mary, will save us from our sins. That's why he's here. That's the reason for Christmas. I hate to tell you this, kids. It's not the presents under the tree. As much fun as that is. It's not getting to have all your kids home. As great as that is. That's not the meaning. That's not the purpose for Christmas. The purpose is to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Let's look over in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. It is Jesus alone that provides salvation. Only he can save us because of who he is. He is mighty to save us. Think about what Zechariah, that would be John the Baptist's father. When John the Baptist was born, there's actually several verses. But look at Luke chapter 1. We won't read the whole thing. Luke 1 verse 76. It's about in the middle of what Zechariah says at the birth of his son. Talking about John the Baptist, he says, you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. John the Baptist, Zechariah understood, we have a problem as people. We need our sins forgiven before we can come to the Father. Over in verse 46, this is Mary's praise after she finds out what is happening with her. In chapter 1 still, verse 46, Mary says, my soul exalts the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary knew she needed a Savior. This baby that was going to be born would be her Savior. He is our Savior. Remember the announcement to the shepherds, verse 10 in chapter 1. I think chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10 in Luke. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You and I, we are all in need of a Savior. We have all sinned. We have all turned away from God. Titus 3, 4, and 5 says, when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. He saved us. He provided the way that you and I can be forgiven, that you and I can know him. Again, I said things are a little different today. We're going to sing another song. It's called Mighty to Save. Take a few minutes as we sing. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Our God is mighty to save. That's reason to celebrate at Christmas. He's mighty to save. He knew our hopelessness, our lostness, and He sent His Son to be our Savior. The angel's message is finished. And now Matthew kind of adds in a commentary, a short comment about what the angel's message was. Verse 22 says, "Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means God with us." Matthew quotes scripture. He goes to God's word to gain understanding. He says what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Let's look back in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. Old Testament, chapter Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. This was written some 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Okay? Jesus hasn't come on the scene. He's not going to be born for 700 years. And Isaiah writes this in verse 14 of chapter 7. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." This isn't an afterthought. This wasn't a, "Oh, those people down there are having problems. I need to do something." This was God's plan. 700 years before. Years before that with Adam and Eve in the garden. God had promised that someone born, one of Eve's descendants, would crush the power of the serpent. Isaiah here, 700 years before Jesus' birth, says a virgin will bear a child, will give birth. That's an impossibility in our minds. A virgin can't have a baby. That's not how it works, and we all know that. Except this one time. We have one exception. 2,000 years ago, God entered this world as a human being. Deity put on the robe of humanity. Think what that means. The all-powerful, the one who made that great big giant lake out there, that the waves keep coming up and controls everything, became a helpless baby. Born of a virgin. A child born not like any other child before or since. This single event was so big that it is the peak of all of our history. It even established the calendar. We're moving away from this in our day and age. But as a kid, I remember B.C. and A.D. Where does that come from? Before Christ and Anno Domini, which is after Christ. What's the center? What's the dividing point of our calendar, even if they change it and call it B.C.E. and A.C.E.? What is still the center point? Jesus' birth. That is the focus of our world. We need to see that. We need to understand that truth. Jesus is the center. Redemptive history reaches its highest point as the Son of God comes into the world, born of a virgin. We know her name to be Mary. The incarnation of God in the flesh demands a virgin birth. For God to come as a human, it has to be different. If it was Mary and Joseph, this would have been a regular, ordinary birth. It was not. If Jesus had a human father and a human mother, he could not be God. If he is man and not God, he cannot be our Savior. Robert Schuller, some of you may know him, said this back in, this is a while ago, but 1976. He said, "I could not in print or in public deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. But when I have something I can't comprehend, I just don't deal with it. Which, unfortunately, is what many people like to do with this. We don't want to deal with this. This doesn't make sense. Virgins do not have babies. We know that doesn't work. Mary did. Mary was a virgin. Up until about 150 years ago, this wasn't even debated in the church. Past few years, more of the liberal denominations have begun to deny it. I remember the church that we went to in Nebraska started as a congregational church. And I think it was in the 1940s, when that denomination started to debate. Was he born of a virgin? Was he not? They chose not. And at that point, the church in Venango broke away. It was that important for them. The virgin birth was that important that they would break fellowship with the group that had helped them get started. It is very, very important. Why? What is Matthew doing here? Remember, he's showing us Jesus is the king. He showed us by his genealogy, he is the king. He shows us by his birth, his miraculous, amazing, divine birth, that he is God. That he is God come in the flesh. If this is not true, many things fall apart. If this is not true, the Bible is not true. What does the Bible say? It says Jesus was born of a virgin. Does the Bible lie? No. All scripture is inspired by God. God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. If the virgin birth is not true, his death cannot be a substitute. It takes a perfect, spotless lamb. His death would not have paid the penalty. His birth, his resurrection, even his second coming, all of it show us his deity. It's a package deal. If we leave out part, our salvation is gone. The truth is, Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. Let's look over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation. Jesus is God, fully God, come in the flesh. Psalm 2:7 says, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." We have a child here, created in a human womb, but created sinless, created holy, the very nature of God, God in the flesh. How does that happen? If I could tell you, I'd probably be very rich. Thank you. It is difficult to understand, but Scripture does explain it. Jesus was born different from any of the rest of us. Human mother, God is his father. John 1:14 says, "And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 10:30, "I and the Father are one." Over and over, Jesus claims he is the Son of God. Why did the Jews kill Jesus? Do you know the real reason? Because he said he was God. He claimed to be God, and they wouldn't accept it. This baby is God, born of a virgin. The past years with the debate over, or especially over Isaiah 7:14, the Hebrew word there, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. In Hebrew, that word is alma. And for quite a while, people had said, Alma is a word that can be used for just a young girl. So just a young girl will conceive. That's pretty normal, right? We can understand that. We can accept that. So maybe if we just change the word. Okay, we can do that with Scripture, right? Not. They have done further research from the time when they were thinking that that word Alma was just for a young girl. In the time when Isaiah wrote that, that word exclusively meant virgin. 100 years or so, words change meaning, right? I remember as a kid, cool meant cold. Bad meant good. Well, we won't go on the others. Okay. That word changed meaning. When Isaiah wrote it, the meaning was not debatable. It was a virgin. That's what Isaiah said. And then if you want to make that argument, when Isaiah or when Matthew translates that into the Greek, he has several options for Greek words. He could use a Greek word for young girl. Guess which word he chooses? Virgin. Jesus was born of a virgin. Unique, different. He is God. Come in the flesh. Born of a virgin. Did you hear it? We sing it. Silent night, holy night, always calm, always bright, round yon virgin, mother and child. Jesus was born of a virgin. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. She shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Emmanuel. The last two, E-L, at the end of that word, means God. L, when you see L at the end of any name, it stands for God. Iman, means God, means with us. So with us, God. The title that was given to this baby, born of the Virgin Mary, is Emmanuel. God with us. The infinitely rich became poor. The all-powerful Creator took on a human nature. The pure, spotless Son of God took our guilt and bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. This Jesus that was born, God in the flesh, was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. God sent his Son, born of a virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. Our God is mighty to save. He's born of a virgin. He is God come to be with us. Then we wrap up chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 24. Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph woke up and went for a walk. Is that what it says? Joseph woke up and went and talked to his friends because he didn't know what to do. Joseph woke up and did as the angel said. He took Mary as his wife. He followed the direction of the king. He listened to what he had said. He got up and did what he was told. He obeyed. He followed. It was clear now. Not only was he marrying Mary, who was giving birth to the Son of God, the Messiah, he was taking on the job of his adoptive father. Again, we don't know a lot about Joseph. He had to have been a good man. Would God have put his son with a bad father? No. So he had to have been a good man. Can you imagine raising a perfect son? All my boys know, when we're doing anything, this is generic, it's not specific, I'm not singling out anyone, but if we're doing something and they try and tell me how to do it, I always handle that well, right? Right? No. I usually handle it very poorly. Joseph raised Jesus. He was perfect. If he said, you need to do it this way, he'd have been right. Imagine having that responsibility. He married Mary, and he did what he was told. He took her as his wife. He took her son as his own, even though both he and Mary knew without a doubt this baby was different. Can you imagine holding that baby in your arms? What would it have been like? They knew. Mary knew what the angel said. Joseph knew what had been told him by the angel. This baby is the king. The king of all kings. He is the heir to David's throne. His miraculous birth by the Virgin says to all of us, he is the Son of God. Jesus is the King. His genealogy proves it. Jesus is the Son of God. His miraculous birth declares that to all the world. The Savior has come. The one who can and will save us is here. That is reason to celebrate. That's why all the glitter, all the lights, all the presents, all the stuff we do, we should be celebrating his birth. The birth of the one who can save us, who will save us, if we will but turn to him and ask him to save us. I always like the illustration, especially at Christmas time. How many of you on Christmas afternoon will have a present under the tree not open? Unless, of course, somebody's not coming till tomorrow. But how many of you will leave a package unopened and let it sit there for the year? I got to know what it is. I got to open that present. God has given us the greatest gift of all. His Son. To open that gift is a matter of praying and acknowledging your need of a Savior and asking him into your heart and your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Again, I would ask you, have you received that gift? If you have never prayed and asked him to be your Savior, I would encourage you to do that today, right now even, by simply saying in your heart, God, I know that I have sinned. Forgive me. Come into my life. Be my Savior. If you've never prayed that before and you would like to this morning, would you raise your hand and then put it back down so I can pray for you now? To accept his gift, thank you, of salvation. Accept him as your Savior. Those of us who have, are we living with him as our King? Acknowledging, remembering that he is our Savior. Obeying when he says to do something. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time in your word and the truth that is there. That you sent your Son. That you, the God of the universe, became a helpless baby. That baby grew to be a man. And he died on the cross to save us from our sins. Father, for this one that raised their hand, I ask that you would work in their life and their heart, that they might know and understand the truth of who you are. Father, as we celebrate this week the birth of your Son, remind us in everything that a child has been born, a son has been given. He is the Savior from sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Benediction is Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel.